You're not turning me on yet, are you, John? Our subject this morning, I gave it this title, though I understand that there's a certain length you have to meet to put it on the internet, so I don't really worry about that, but I'll shorten it if I have to, and my wife said I did have to, so I will. But my title is Witnesses to Christ's Resurrection, or Seven Proofs of Christ's Resurrection. I want to read to you, if I can do so without taking too much of my time and not have time for anything else. I'd like to read the 24th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 24. Let's beg the Lord to help us. Lord, we call upon your name as our only Savior and Lord, our God, our Christ, the God-man, Christ Jesus. Lord, if you do not see fit to presence yourself in our midst, we have no hope of accomplishing anything. We're just spinning our wheels. Unless you own yourself to be what you describe yourself in our Bibles, we pray that you would give us the ability to hear and to understand, like you did your disciples of old, about which we are now to read. You opened their understanding. Lord, if we are to have understanding, you must give it. We're not born with it. We can't learn it in the classroom. It is a gift of your grace. Without it, we're hopeless and lost. Bless our time this day, as we gather in this out-of-the-way, insignificant place. We pray for your mercy and your grace. In your dear name, amen. Chapter 24, verse 1. Maybe I should borrow two verses at the end of 23, so verse 55 of chapter 23. Because these women are coming up before us and we need to know this statement. And when the women also which came with our Lord Jesus from Galilee followed after and beheld the grave and how the body was laid, a fellow by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin, a wealthy man, this was his tomb for himself and I suppose his wife, hewed out of solid stone. And he goes to Pilate and requests the body of Christ. Another character you might remember from the Scriptures is a fellow named Nicodemus, whom we first meet in John chapter 3. He himself took part in that taking down that body of Christ from Calvary's tree and putting it in this grave. And these women have followed them to this grave, and they even take note of the position that Christ is lying inside that grave, before that big stone is put over the door. Verse 56, and they returned, these ladies returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, very early in the morning, they came unto the grave, called in the King James the sepulchre. It's just a cave. It's not underground. Bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain other women with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the grave. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garment. These are angels, I think, in the form of men. And as these women were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why, these two men said, why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was still in Galilee? He said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the grave and told all these things to the 11 apostles and to all the rest that were with the apostles. These women were Mary Magdalene, if I remember right, out of whom Christ cast 7 devils, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and I think also of John, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to the apostles as idle tales. As often as our Lord had told these men that he would rise from the dead, they cannot believe it. And they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran to the grave, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Still doesn't believe it. And behold, two of them went that day to a village called Emmaus. We call these the Emmaus disciples, which was from Jerusalem about 7 miles, 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed, these two men were walking sad, communed with each other and reasoning, Jesus drew near and went with them, but they do not know him. But their eyes were holden. It just simply means that the Lord, as he did frequently, especially in dangerous situations, he could walk right through the middle of his enemies that are fixed to throw him off the mountain, and they don't even see him. So these men cannot recognize Christ. He said, what manner, in verse 17, of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto him, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Alas, verse 21, but we trusted, we thought it would be him. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now, everybody and his brother in the Jewish system of that day was looking for the Messiah. But they were looking for him for the wrong purposes. They were looking for somebody to deliver them from the Roman occupation and all the things that go along with that. Verse 22, yes, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the grave. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the grave and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And he's talking now to the Emmaus disciples. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What scriptures? The Old Testament. There was no New Testament at this point. You mean Christ is in the Old Testament? My Lord, that's what it's all about. He's the subject of the Old Testament. Everything there is designed to complement him in some way or other. Verse 28, and they drew near unto the village where they went. And I like this next phrase. The Lord Jesus made as though he would have gone further. He didn't walk around with a sad face. He wants more than these guys want. He wants to talk to them and reveal himself to them. Made as though he would have gone further. Some people think that's unbecoming of Christ to act like he's going to do one thing when he really intends to do something else. Well, if he was going to rob these guys, you know, that might be all right. But that's not his purpose. He wants them to really know him. And if he wants them to know him, they will know him. No ifs, ands, or buts. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave to them with his hands visible. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And when he opened to us the scriptures, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. And they said, the Lord is risen indeed. That's our text this morning. The Lord is indeed risen. Not wants to be, not hopes to be. He is raised from the dead. They said, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. I take this to be the other of the Emmaus disciples. Verse 35, and they told what things were done in the way, on the way to Emmaus, when Christ was with them and they didn't know it, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread by the nail prints in his hands. And as they thus spoke, while they're still talking, look at this now, the Lord Jesus stood in the middle of them. These hard-headed disciples still don't believe. And even when our Lord stands right in front of them, they still don't believe. And that's exactly how it is with me and you. We don't believe until God has taken every prop there is out from under us. And our Lord said, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit, a ghost. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit, a ghost, has not flesh and bones as you see me have. Notice he didn't say flesh and blood. He said flesh and bones. The blood's already shed. It's on the mercy seat in glory. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. What more could you ask? And while they yet believed not, for joy and wondered, he said unto them, do you have any food? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was still with you. This was before the crucifixion, before his arrest. That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding. Now I'm telling you, to understand this book is a miracle of grace. Can't have it any other way. You can study and read till your eyes fall out, till the cows come home, but you won't make any progress in this book until God, by His Spirit and grace, gives us an understanding. He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. From that day forth, Noah's Ark was not a kid's story. It's a picture of redemption by Christ and by blood. That ark is Christ. And a thousand other things in the Old Testament as well. Verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, which took virtually 50 days, 40 of which our Lord was still showing himself to them and having fellowship with them at various times and places in that 40 days. And then he ascends to glory, and there's another 10 days because the day of Pentecost, when the gift of the Holy Spirit upon these apostles and upon the believers of that day took place on Pentecost, and the word Penta means 50. So it's 50 days from Passover to Pentecost. And that's why these references are this way. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Did you know every gospel, all four of them, end with the word Amen? Amen. Now, don't lose your place. We got to come back. And keep your other place now, Matthew 28. All right, I got 7 proofs of Christ's resurrection. In this very chapter, Luke 24, we go back to verse 24. This first witness... I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong scripture. I want to go first to Matthew 28. This is a little much for this mind of mine, you know, to keep it all in order. So if I make a few flubs, don't worry about it. It only gets worse from here out. So here's 7 witnesses or 7 proofs. The first one is the witness of heaven. The witness of heaven. chapter 28 of Matthew and verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. This earthquake gave its testimony to who the Lord Jesus is and what He's done and what it takes to save hard-headed sinners like me and you. It takes something equivalent to an earthquake and an angel from heaven. We're just like these disciples. I mean, after they had so many proofs it wasn't even funny, they still didn't believe. And if we'd have read John's Gospel, we'd have found out that Thomas was even worse than they were. He was absent when that first appearance took place that we just read about in Luke 24. So when he got back, they said, "We've seen the Lord." Oh, he said, "I won't believe that He's risen until I put my fingers in the nail prints in His hand and my hand in His side." And then our Lord appeared in that meeting and told Thomas exactly what Thomas had said, and yet our Lord was not there physically. He said, "Thomas, you believe only if you can put your hand in my wounds." He said, "Blessed are those that believe who do not have such proof." We live in a religious generation that looks for signs and wonders and all these things. And the greatest miracle this world has ever seen is the salvation of a sinner. And we can be standing right beside them when that happens and never know it. Never know it. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven. This is still the second verse of Matthew 28. And came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. These women had worried, "Well, who's going to remove the stone so we can get in the grave?" No problem. No problem at all. And who's going to remove the stone in our heart in order for us to believe? It'll be God or it won't be moved. That's just how it is. Now, hanging on to Matthew 28, let's go back to Luke chapter. I really want to mention the two verses at the end of chapter 23 and read just a few verses to take us into this third witness. The second witness, if I didn't make it clear, is that this earth itself, as well as heaven, gave its testimony concerning Christ. And the third one is that these angels appeared to the godly women, in addition to the one that we hear of in Matthew chapter 28. And this time we begin in chapter 23 in Luke, and we start where we started our reading at verse 55. "And the women also which came with us from Galilee followed after and beheld the grave and how His body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointment and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, these ladies came to the grave bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain other women, I think, with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the grave, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were perplexed thereabout, behold, two men, which I think are angels in disguise, stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth and said unto them, 'Why seek you the living among the dead?'" Lord, I'd like to go to every Baptist church in Harnett County right now and just make that same statement. What are you people seeking the living among the dead for? Oh, preacher, you're too harsh. Well, if they don't believe the gospel that's in this book, they're going to hell. And somebody's got to speak up. And God helping me, I'm going to sure do my part. Why do you seek the living among the dead? This grave is now past tense. Oh, I know thousands of people every year go over there and stand in that grave, if they can even find which one it is. But that is the worst thing you could possibly do. You think to do something physically equals spiritually, and it does not compute. It does not carry over. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And returned from the grave, and he told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things to the apostles. So these godly women had an angel visit all their own in regard to this glorious, glorious wonder and miracle, the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Never to die again. Raised forever. Now there's one reference, and if you'll permit me, I won't tell you what it is until I read it. Oh, there it is. Not only the witness of heaven and the witness of earth and the witness of godly women, but here is a multitude of witnesses, according to the Apostle Paul, over 500 men at one time witnessed the resurrected Christ. Here it is. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, and unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, Paul now speaking to the Corinthian church, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Peter and then of the 12, and after that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present hour, but some are fallen to sleep. Now that's Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, fourthly, here is a multitude of witnesses. The evidence is growing. It includes beings from heaven and beings from earth. It includes people who love Him and people who hate Him. This is some witness list, if you ask me. All right, the fifth thing, and this comes out of Luke 24. So you should already be there, right? All right, Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 45. Now, I know I've read this, but I want you to see it in this regard. These disciples and apostles are called the living. The living. Just a moment, we'll hear from the dead. But here it is the living. And these are people who ate and drank with our Savior after He was raised from the dead. All right, let's start. Let's see, verse 36. And as they thus spoke, Jesus Himself stood in the midst. He just, not through the door, mind you, He just appears on the inside of this room, wherever it is. And He said, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, "Why are you troubled, and why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have." And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they still believed not, this time it's for a good excuse. They believed not for joy. For the pure joy of a resurrected Christ. And wondered, amazed. And they said, our Lord said to them, "Do you have any food? Have you any meat?" And I like that meat thing. I mean, if you don't have meat, I don't think you've had any, you know, much food worth anything. But my habits are changing. They gave Him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And He eats it in front of them. And they see it. They've seen this hundreds of times before He was crucified. And He took it and did eat before them. And He said unto them, "These are the words which I spoke unto you when I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." You mean the Psalms are about Christ? Oh, yes, indeed. Genesis to Malachi. "Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." Now Matthew, instead of 28, just dip back into 27 a little bit. I need to make a point here. There's some people in Matthew 27 that have already died. They're in the grave. But they want to give witness to the resurrection of Christ. Let me show it to you. Verse 51 through 53 in Matthew 27. "And behold," Matthew 27, what verse did I tell you? 51, yeah. "Behold, the veil of the temple was rent or torn in two from top to bottom." And if you think that curtain there in front of the baptistry is thick, there's no telling how thick this curtain was. And it split starting at the top and came to the bottom. And these Jews are so blind, all they do is sew it back together and keep on keeping on. Same old sacrifices. Everything the same. Keep the law and God will save you and all this kind of stuff. And that's what religion is doing every day. "And the earth did quake and the rocks rent or split. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose." The dead arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city Jerusalem and appeared unto many. There you go. Dead people bearing witness that Christ is risen from the dead. One more category that we cannot omit, though we do not like these people, but we have to tolerate them sometime. In fact, I put myself right in there with them at one time. Oh, I was a Baptist preacher, but I didn't know doodle and squat. The first time I heard that God was sovereign, I didn't like it one little bit. God sent me a book on the Sovereignty of God by A.W. Pink. And my whole world was turned upside down. And from that day, I got put out of that church after about another year. I don't know why it took them that long. And then the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And I'm still on the last next one. That's right here. So, oh my, been a lot of fun. The enemies of our Lord Jesus Christ. These, in verses 11 through 15 in Matthew 28, we read about this concocted story. Instead of admitting that Christ is risen from the dead, they say that the disciples went and stole His body and that they have it somewhere. All right, verses 11 through 15, Matthew 28. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, these are the people that were paid to guard this tomb and to prevent these disciples from stealing the body of Christ. Now when they were going, some of the watch, I take that to mean these were Roman soldiers, but they were being paid by the Jewish Sanhedrin, the hierarchy of the Jewish religion. They came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all that was done. They didn't go to Pilate to tell him. They went to the religious leaders. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, here it still works this way, ladies and gentlemen. They gave large money unto the soldiers. Bribery is still the way to go. Washington reeks with it. Raleigh reeks with it. Lillington reeks with it. And you and I reek with it. Except for God's grace, we'd be right there in that same rat race and loving every minute of it. They said, the Jewish leaders said to these soldiers, verse 13, say you His disciples came by night and stole Him away while we slept. And we'll patch things up with the governor, and he won't be hard on you. That's what the next verse goes on to say. Even the enemies of Christ. Well, preacher, how can they testify that Christ is rose? Just one little simple fact. The grave is empty. He's no longer where He was buried. They said, why seek you the living? The angel said to the women, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. He's risen. Now, I'm leaving Matthew 28 and I'm leaving Luke 24. I want you to look at two scriptures in the book of Romans and one more in the book of 1 Corinthians. The first one is in the first chapter of Romans. And I've tried to take advantage of you and mark my place so I can find it before you do. Romans chapter 1. One verse alone. Verse 4, Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Now let's look at this closely. Speaking of our Lord Jesus, He was declared to be the Son of God, not just the Son of God with God's power. according to the Spirit of holiness, where's the proof? By the resurrection from the dead. Now here's what that means, and it can only mean this. When Christ was raised from the dead, He raised Himself from the dead. Now before you get too hot under the collar, I know the book also says that God the Father raised Him from the dead, and God the Holy Spirit raised Him from the dead, but it also says that Christ raised Himself, and here's one of those times. Here's why. If the Father raised Him from the dead, He could have been just like one of us. God can raise us from the dead if He chooses. If the Holy Spirit raised Him from the dead, that's no evidence as to who Christ is. But if Christ raised Himself from the dead, then it goes straight to the point. What is the point? Look at verse 4. He was declared to be the Son of God with power. How? By the resurrection of the dead. Which could not be said if it were just simply God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. God is in three persons, but they're just one. One will, one purpose, the same. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right, chapter 4 in Romans. The very last verse in Romans 4, which is verse 25. Speaking of our Savior who was delivered for our offenses, Christ was delivered up to die for our offenses. Now watch this. And was raised again for our justification. Now please understand that word. If the resurrection of Christ is real, then He justifies every person whom He represented before God. If He's raised from the dead, all who are in Him are declared justified before God. Without sin, holy, sanctified, whatever else you want to name. It's ours in Christ. But we can't have it any other way. It must be in Him. And that's in the crucified Christ. One more scripture. 1 Corinthians 15. Now Paul makes some plain statements. I already read you one of them earlier. But this is even more to the point, having to do with this matter of the resurrection and the Lord Jesus not being in the grave. He's not here. He is risen. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, we'll begin at verse 12. First Corinthians 15:12. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? In other words, if we're not raised from the dead, He's not, because if we're His, He raised Himself and His people all at one time. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, verse 14, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God.
Boy, I used to be one for sure. I mean, it was a, you know, hey, I was getting paid for it. It was a full-time job. I didn't know it at the time. False witnesses of God. Jehovah's Witness ain't the only false witnesses around, ladies and gentlemen. Because we've testified of God that if He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If Christ's people are not risen, then Christ is not raised. But if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain and you're still in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, no future hope, just in this world, we are of all men most miserable. Now my question, and I'm finished. Are we witnesses of Christ's resurrection? Maybe, maybe not.